Praise the Lord. All right. Well, I'm going to need some help in a few minutes with this prop that I have up here. But I want to start off because we're speaking from the book of Nehemiah, but it was interesting. I really felt like the Lord was just kind of reiterating some things because in the last, really the last year or two, God has spoken to me over and over through the book of Joshua and seeing the Jericho walls fall, and through the book of Nehemiah and causing the walls to go up. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about tonight, or today, this morning, because we have to pull down the wrong walls in order to build up the right ones. And that's basically what we're going to be talking about today. So you guys have heard us talking about, we have a department head meeting today because we have felt like the Lord has said from Isaiah 54 for a while now that we are to enlarge the place of our tent. Now, what that is going to look like for Hidden Treasures is right there. Look where that Luke 4, 18 and 19, that wall is coming down. And so that will be opened up just like it is over here. This wall over here behind the students is coming down. And so the reason for that is because imagine if somebody was, there's a classroom over there, if they're sitting in that classroom trying to enjoy the service with this wall in the way, it's going to be difficult, right? It's going to be hard. Now over here, there's a window so that you can see, but over there, it would be very difficult. The truth is, sometimes in order for growth to happen, walls have to come down. And so in the same way that these walls are going to come down, because God is saying to us from Isaiah 54 to enlarge the place of your tent, because you will break out on the right and on the left. I believe that's going to be numerically. I believe also new ministries are coming. The next thing is God has called us to build a gym and a youth center that we will use for the community. Those are just some of the things that are coming. And so that's, God has spoken to that, actually gave Rick that dream 20 years ago. And now here in 2023, the Lord is resurrecting dreams that God spoke to us back in 2003. And so anyway, it is an exciting time at Hidden Treasures. Amen. Amen. Woohoo! Praise the Lord. And in the body of Christ. So if you want to grow, you have to take walls down. If you put up the first slide, Jericho's walls had to come down. In the promised land, Jericho was the first city. Now, obviously, this isn't Jericho, but I just wanted you to have a picture. Because sometimes if y'all are squirreling, you know, if I put a picture up there, you go, oh, wait, what is she talking about? You know, I know because this happens to me too. So this is a wall, a city wall in another place in the world. But in the promised land, Jericho was the first city, and the walls had to come down because it was filled with the enemy. So the walls needed to come down so that they could take the city. So in order for victory to come in the battle that they were facing, the walls had to come down. So for advancement to come, the walls have to come down. And that's true, spiritually speaking, also. The problem is a lot of people don't even recognize that they have walls up in their lives that are keeping growth and advancement and victory from taking place. The wrong walls have to come down so that the right ones can be built. But walls coming down, if you put up the second one, is work. It is work to take down. Oh, yeah. People don't, I put these so that you can remember some of these things because I need help with that. People don't recognize that they have walls that are keeping them from growth, advancement, and victory. Now, I believe, just so you know, that today God is going to reveal some of those walls. And then you have a choice as to what you do with that information. In our ladies' Bible study, God reveals walls that need to come down and strongholds and things in our thinking. I'm sure in the men's Bible study, which I don't attend because I'm not a man, I'm sure that there are things that are discussed, walls that need to come down, ways of thinking that need to change. So they need to come down so that we can grow as Christians. Okay, so walls coming down. You can go ahead to the next slide. I must have had them out of order. I'm sorry. Walls coming down is work. It's messy. We have been through this multiple times in our house because we've lived in the same house, in case you weren't aware, since 1996, and we had 7 children. So we lived in a 3-bedroom house. So we built onto the house, and then we built into the garage, and so we've seen renovation. And then our whole house flooded, as most of you know, in 2017, and we had to knock more walls down. And so renovation is messy, and it's hard work. But Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you put up that scripture whenever you get to it. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed. That word is metamorphos, which is the same word that's used when a butterfly is transformed from a caterpillar to a butterfly. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I've talked about this lots of times before, that the renewing of your mind, renew is renovate. So that word right there, renewing, if you look it up and what it means to renovate. We are going to change spiritually and physically and emotionally and mentally, which is supposed to happen continually as Christians. We have to do some renovation in our thinking. Some walls have to come down. Some thinking has to change. Some ideas have to come in line with the scripture and with what God says. We all need renovation in our life. Growth requires renovation in our lives. Just like growth in our church is going to require renovations, growth in our spiritual life, which a lot of it happens right here in our mind, it has to change. Walls have to come down. Strongholds have to be dealt with. Ways of thinking need to change. And so we all need to renovate. If you want to grow, you have to pull walls down. Walls of fear, walls of lies, doubt, control. Those are just some of the most common. So renovation has to happen. How do we do that? I want to show you. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. Says, and you can stand and we'll read these verses. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. So, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war. I hope that's big enough for y'all. Okay. We do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. Notice, not by ourselves, but in God. For pulling down, in case you were unaware, because I didn't know this until I started studying, that word pulling down, it means demolition. How cool is that? So we're called to do renovation in our mind. How do we do that? Through demolition. It goes together, right? It makes sense. For pulling down strongholds, casting down or demolishing, that word means demolish, arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Okay, you can be seated. So, against the knowledge of God, the more that you get to know our awesome God, the more that you will be able to bring down the strongholds, because what you believe about God will begin to change. Because we come into this thing, often we bring into Christianity the ideas that we have from people that we've seen, from, you know, a lot of people have this quilt of, you know, religious beliefs. Some came from their grandma, you know, that said cleanliness is next to godliness, which actually isn't in the Bible. You know, some people, you know, bring these other, you know, this mindset that they have, or these things that they learned along the way. But what has to happen is the things that are ungodly, that are not in the Bible, have to be demoed so that the truth can be replaced. And God does that as we get knowledge of Him. How do we get knowledge of Him? By reading the Word of God, by spending time with Him. So, strongholds, if you put up the next slide. Strongholds, that word, it means a castle. So when it says pulling down strongholds, imagine a castle. Well, what happens in a stronghold? People run into it to hide. And this is what happens in our mindset, is that we can have these strongholds in our mind that we don't even realize, because it's hidden. It is disguised as, that's just who I am. That's just how I've always been. That's just what I'll always struggle with. They're like castles. It's places that are built in our minds that house the thoughts that keep us captive to the lies of the enemy. I'm going to say that again. So strongholds are like castles, places that are built in our minds that house the thoughts that keep us captive to the lies of the enemy. Now, we believe those lies because they are inside strongholds or castles. But when we recognize that we have weapons that can destroy the castles or walls that keep us from growth, then we can begin to use those weapons to effectively demo the strongholds that are in our mindset. And that's what allows us to change. Listen, when people don't realize this, they can sit in church for 20 years and not change. Let me just tell you, that's a problem. That's a huge problem. Because if we sit in church and don't change, there's something missing. I am amazed at people that sit in church. You can sit in church for 20 years and not even be saved. Listen, and have altar call after altar call after altar call given. Because if you refuse to let the truth of God's word begin to change your mindset, you will continue believing lies that keep you captive. And it's sad, but it's true. But we can use those weapons to pull down the strongholds. Now, the hard thing about strongholds is that they hide well. The lies of the enemy are often thoughts that seem very true and very natural to us, which is why it's so easy for them to hide. They're ways of thinking that have gotten ingrained into our mindset, so they seem natural or a part of us. But when we give our lives to the Lord Jesus, all of that can begin to change. Now, I've shared with you guys, fear was a stronghold in my life as a Christian that I didn't even realize. And when God began to show me that the spirit, fear is a spirit. And what happens with the spirit of fear is that that spirit tells us lies. And if we choose to believe those lies, then strongholds of mindsets are set up in our mind. That's why as Christians, we continually need to be renewing our mind to the truth of the Word of God. And I remember the day, I remember where I was sitting, and I was reading a book, and I read a statement, and I felt fear rise up because it was talking about stepping out and about change. And I felt, and all of a sudden I went, oh, that is a spirit, because I felt the influence that that spirit was trying to hold me back from who God has called me to be by whispering and telling me lies about who I am. And it is in the moment, it's easier. It's not easier in the long run. It feels more comfortable to just stay in the lies where we are. Why? Because it's where we've been. Because that's just who I am. That then excuses me in my own mind from stepping out into the things that God is calling me, from changing from who I've been. And that's how the enemy keeps us captive, is he tells us, no, this is who you are. Well, if we are believing a lie that is contrary to what the Word of God says about us, then it's not supposed to be true of us. It's supposed to be changing. Now, it's a process. Listen, I would love it if I got a revelation of areas where I was struggling and it just, one prayer, and it just came down immediately. But it's kind of like exercise. You know, we would all love it if we had a really good exercise day. Like, okay, I did 20 push-ups and, you know, whatever, 30 sit-ups. And tomorrow, like, just immediate change. Like, wouldn't that be awesome? But the reality is that's not how it works. You have to do it over and over and over. And you have to change your diet. And you have to, you know, do all of these things. That takes a lot of time. But it works these things in us. So, the word is what pulls down the wrong walls. When we begin to think about the true things in the Bible, when we begin to let that truth, if you put up the next slide, change our thinking about ourselves, about how we treat others, about what is acceptable behavior, about who we are and what we can do, it can pull down the walls that have kept us from growth. because the enemy loves to keep us the same. No, this is who you are. You've always struggled with depression. You'll always struggle with it. No, this is who you are. You are a timid person. You're just not that type of person that steps out and does those kind of things. That's for those other people that are spiritual and that are naturally bold. No, that's just not who you are. You are not going to walk in the confidence of the living God. No, that you will always feel shame and unworthy. You will never be able to accomplish these things. Those are the lies that the enemy tells us. But that's not coming from our Father, because God has described who we are in the Word of God. And Jesus, like, God, you sent me to speak to us. Jesus accomplished that with his life. He paid for our change with his life. So why would we look at God and say, I can't change? Why would we stay the same because it's more comfortable when Jesus paid such a high price for us to change? It's wrong as Christians. And it keeps us from accomplishing and from doing and from being the army that he has called us to be. Listen, God has called me Deborah, and I'm telling you, that is way outside my comfort zone. Like, I am a run and hide in the natural kind of girl. Like, I am not a lead a battle, into lead people into army. Like, that's just not who I am naturally. But it doesn't matter who I am naturally, because I have the holy God who enables me to be bold. Proverbs 28:1 says, the wicked flee when nobody is pursuing them, but the righteous are bold as a lion. That's who I am, because that's what his word says. I am righteous because Jesus became righteousness for me. So that word is true for me. But I could sit in my fear and make excuses for the next 10 years and say, well, I just can't. I just can't do that. That's just not who I am. And the enemy would win that battle, that God has given me the weapons to pull down those strongholds in my mindset. And so I want to show you something, but let's go to this next PowerPoint. So how do you know if there are walls in your thinking that are keeping you from growth, or strongholds that are allowing lies of the enemy to hide in your thoughts? Number one, you see promises in the Bible for Christians that you can't believe could be true for you. There's a stronghold in your mind. Because if you look at that and go, that cannot be true for me, the enemy has lied to you and he is hiding in some thoughts. It's created by us believing lies of the enemy. Number two, you see things in the, that's number one again. You see things in the Bible that you know you should be practicing, but you simply don't. Sometimes that's because there are strongholds that allow us to hide behind excuses that I can't, or I won't, or that's not for me, or I'm not able. Listen, the enemy loves to keep God's people pushed down in who they're not. We got to stand up in who we are. It's not humility to be insecure in who we are as Christians. We can be confident in an almighty God and yet humble, realizing that who he is who I am because of who I am. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less. It is realizing, God, anything that I do, any power that I have, it comes from you. 2 Corinthians 3:5 says, not that we are sufficient in of ourselves to think as anything as being from ourselves, for our sufficiency or our competency is from God. My competency is from him. So many times I feel inadequate, or I feel insecure, or I feel unable. Okay, I need a couple of helpers. Let me have two. Okay, Luke and Carter, come on. Perfect. All right, we got some balls here. Pull that down. Right. Oh, it is upside down. Thank you. Yeah. Okay, so one of y'all on each side of this. Because these walls don't stand by themselves. okay, so I want to show you. So this is what basically happens. We have these walls in our minds, right? because of lies that we believe, some of them because of things that people have told us, some of them because of circumstances have told us, some of them because it's more comfortable for us to believe that. Lies like inadequacy, lies like I said earlier, like I am just timid, confusion. This was very interesting. The Lord kept speaking that word to me, so I wrote it on there. And then Pam, I'm going to pick this up so y'all can see what's on the bottom in a minute. And Pam mentioned it in Sunday school this morning about how as even when people get confused spiritually, sometimes they seek to start serving the Lord and then they hit a wall of confusion and they just throw it out and go, you know, forget it. And they throw it out. Or we know in our society today, let's just get real, this whole gender confusion thing, that's a real thing. Listen, it is vital that as Christians, we love people and we speak to them the truth. You can love somebody and accept them as a person without agreeing with them. That's the problem in our society today, is that the world is telling us that agreement or that acceptance equals agreement. I can accept you as a person and yet not agree with you. And so as Christians, we need to reach out with love first, because listen, if people come into the church and the first thing that they're hit with is their sin. Now, if God hits them with their sin, great, but we don't have to lead with that. If any of us came into church, all of us come into church with sin. And if the first thing that somebody said to you was to point out your sin when you walked into the church, I mean, none of us would want to come back to church. So listen, we love people and we speak the truth to them and we walk with them through the struggles that they have, because it's a real struggle that a lot of people are dealing with. And so we love people, but we love them with truth. Okay, so I want to put this. I wanted them to show you, but these are some of the lies that I will always, this is who I am, you fill in the blank. Okay, y'all turn the walls that way so that everybody over there can read it real quick. Okay, so these are just some examples. You fill in the blank, because your thoughts, the strongholds in your mind, the struggles that you're having might be different. But I want to show you this picture real quick. Okay, y'all turn it back around and then put this down. This is the problem with some of our walls, is we're not knocking them down because we're standing on it. We're like, no, this is who I am. Listen, we got to demo that and realize who I am is defined by the Word of God. Who I am is not defined by what I feel. It's not defined by what's comfortable for me. It's not defined by what other people have said about me, unless it's godly. We got to demo that stuff. This one, I will always, people get comfortable here and build a stronghold. No, but this is how I've always been. We should not say that statement about any kind of wrongdoing as a Christian. Because even if we're still struggling with it, we should be reaching toward change, knowing that we serve a God who is able to change us. Okay, I need, if y'all pull it back up now, I need two more people. Okay, Terry and Dwight, come on. Okay, so what we need to do is, okay, watch the boys. No, you know. So y'all just, this is what we need. So this is what happened. Terry, come over here and just do some demo on that fear for me. Okay? See, now this is it. Listen, if we can go back to 2 Corinthians 10:3. Just put that up there. Well, they won't be able to see it anyway, but I'll be able to read it. Okay. When we walk, it says, mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Just so you know, demolition is a strong word. Like, it's not like, oh, you know, I just have this problem. And, you know, sometimes we treat our strongholds very gently. Listen, we got to get serious about that. No, I have driven down the road. I will not live in fear, because I am determined. If I walk into Publix, I want to be ready, or Walmart or Dollar General, I want to be ready if God says, tell that person that I love them. And when fear rises up, I mean, literally, I have stayed in my house in the years past because I thought God is going to tell me to do something. I'm going to be disobedient, so I'm just not going to go anywhere. That is bondage. That's not who God created me to be. And so I have, driving down the road, thinking about what might happen and where I'm headed, gone, said out loud, I will not live in fear. What is that doing? Do that again for me, please, Terry. I will not live in fear. I will demolish that. I will live truth. Thank you. Amen. That's right. Okay. Woo! Yeah. Amen. That's right. Okay. Now, I want you to come over here. I want you to come over here, Dwight, and just start. Now, sometimes whenever we want to take out walls, there are parts you do with a hammer. There are parts that you take a thing like that, and you just start pulling it out. Like, you just start pulling stuff out. And so this is who I am. Listen, you need to start being defined by what the Word of God says to you. All right. Thank you. Okay, one more thing. Thank you, guys. I want to show you. Did you know, now this is not a sword or a dagger. This is what I found in Rick's in our office closet. But it's a good picture, okay? Because did you know that the armor of God from Ephesians 6, when it talks about the armor, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, the sword, she's like, don't swing that by my baby. Okay, we'll go this way. Okay, the sword of the Spirit is actually not like a long fencing sword. It is a dagger. And I heard a preacher say recently, this is so cool, that when the enemy sends thoughts, first, our first line of defense, and I don't have a shield, but is to hold up our shield of faith. Faith stops the lies of the enemy. So when the enemy says, Shannon, you can't do that, you will always be that. Faith says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Faith says, the righteous are bold as a lion. And this is what sometimes what we have to do. So, and this is what this preacher said, is he said, when something gets past and it gets into our lives, what we need to do sometimes is we need to take the sword of the Spirit and we need to dig that thing out. So we just start, you know, this is what the Word of God says to me. And so there are multiple ways that we will see change in our lives. But it starts with admitting that there's a stronghold there. Because if I stand behind it instead, no, I'm just going to stand behind this lie and I'm just going to hide. That's what the enemy wants us to do. He wants us to hide. He wants those strongholds to stay in our mindset as Christians so that we stay the same and we never grow. But that's not what God wants for us. Thank you, guys. Thank you. You can just let it fall. Thank you. All right. So we need to, there's the strongholds that need to be knocked down. Now, once the lie is pulled down, then we need to rebuild in the right places with the right ways of thinking. You can't just take the old out. Like, imagine if we just knocked the walls down in our house after Irma and just left them like that. Listen, it was a pain, okay? We had to cut out, like, the bottom 2 feet, and Jude was, like, 18 months at the time, and he would just, like, walk through the walls, and I'm like, we're all like, no, don't do that. Like, if you were in the bathroom, I'm not joking, because we stayed in our house, like, they would put you up in a hotel room. We're like, no, it's, we had seven kids at home, plus Rick and I. We're like, no, it's better for us to be in the house, even with the walls cut out. But Jude would try to walk through the walls, and you're in the bathroom, and imagine there's like 2 feet cut out. It was, you know. So we lived that way for a little while, but I was very happy to rebuild and to have those walls, the right walls in the right places, put back up. Why? Because there is protection in walls. That's why the problem in Nehemiah was that the walls were broken down and the gates were burned with fire. Listen, this is something God showed me in during worship, and I'm going to wrap this up in just like 3 minutes or four. But that during worship, the gates, the Bible says in the book of Nehemiah, that Nehemiah was so grieved. I think it's in Nehemiah 1 verse 3 or 4. But it says this, yeah, this is where I'm going. But in, I think it's Nehemiah 1:3. It says that Nehemiah said that the gates were burned with fire. I don't know where it is. It's okay. But it says the gates were burned with fire. The city is broken down. The walls are broken down and its gates are burned with fire. Our God is a consuming fire. And sometimes when the wrong things need to go, God will just burn it up. And that's why in a time of worship, all of a sudden you will get this revelation. I am who God says I am. That's because God, with his consuming fire, is burning down gates that have kept him out. Amen. Yes, he is a consuming fire. And this morning during worship, it was so cool when we were singing about fire. Right before Janine said what she said, I think right before we started singing, I just said to God in faith, God, you are here and you are a consuming fire. Because as one of the pastors here, I was just standing in faith that God is just consuming things in our lives that need to be burned up. But we have to rebuild the right walls by rebuilding the right ways of thinking. Nehemiah 2:5 that they just put up. Nehemiah said to the king, if it pleases the king and your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask you to send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it. Nehemiah went to rebuild the walls of protection around the city because the walls protect what's inside. That's a bad thing if the things inside the wall are evil. But it's a good thing when you're protecting the truth that God has spoken about you. And when the enemy comes and you go, nope, I'm not believing that lie. I lived in that for too long. I'm not going there anymore. Some people think, I'm just going to say this because it came to mind while I was preparing. Some people think that money will protect them. They build a wall because it says, Proverbs 18:11 says, a rich man's wealth is his strong city and like a wall in his own esteem. Money will not protect us. We need God. And our security, if it's placed in the wrong thing, will end up causing idolatry instead of security. We got to keep our eyes on Jesus. Money is not a wall that protects. We build the right wall in the right places as a part of growth. It's just as important to put the right thoughts in as it is to take the wrong ones out. It's just as important to replace the lies with the truth. If I left this wall like that, it's not going to protect anything. We got to take the wrong walls out, but then we got to put the right walls up. And this, I love this picture. Because sometimes God brings other people into our lives to help establish a framework for truth. Sometimes we need other people. That's why church is so important. None of us are an island. We're not called to do this thing by ourselves. Now, yes, we are to have a personal relationship with Jesus, but we're called to do it together in a church setting with our brothers and sisters, allowing other people to speak into our lives. And some people have so many walls up that they won't let anybody speak into their lives. And you are hurting yourself and other people. The Bible says a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and contentions are like the bars of a castle. Some people stand behind bars and complain about the church and complain about their family and complain about, listen, we have to let the walls fall so that we can allow God to speak truth into our lives, because sometimes he speaks it through other people. Thinking different thoughts causes us to become different people. When those thoughts are led by the Holy Spirit and come out of his inspired word, it adds a supernatural power that can change us, that can allow us to walk in truth. Ephesians 4:21-23. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him. This is a New Living Translation. No, I'm sorry. But I'll just read it. Ephesians 4:21-23. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. So New King James says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. New Living Translation says, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. So whatever problem you're dealing with, there's an answer for it. What we think about determines in large part whether we live in the problem or in the solution. You have a choice, but you have to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. One way I just want to, if you just get ready a song to play for the altar call, I just want to challenge you. Me and Jude and Eden and Selah, and sometimes when Rick, you should see Rick dance with the girls. It's quite comical. We do Bible jingles every night. And now together, we and Jude have learned like 58 verses. Like, I mean, he could say, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, when he was like 3. I mean, you know, listen, that is a powerful way to learn the scripture. And it's not just for children. BibleJingles.com, you get to hear my lovely sister's voice over and over, and it's powerful. But listen, it will stick in your head, and that is a great thing when you have a scripture sticking in your head. So that is one way to help rebuild the right walls. So if you need prayer, we want to pray with you. The first demolition starts of the wrong thoughts by surrendering your life to the Lord Jesus. We can't just try to be better people. We can't just try to do some good things. We can't do it on our own. That's why Jesus had to die.